Welcome to Threshold Stories, crossing thresholds one story at a time. I'm your host, Jeff Gora. Podcast 112, a review of the Blue Ridge Parkway 2022. Alex, how many times now have we ridden this road?
That was three.
Yeah, three full lengths. So not that we ever do the whole 469 care of detours and everything, but if you multiply that by three, that's basically cycling across Europe.
It's about
the equivalent of. So instead of going through a day-by-day or a play-by-play, I feel like we ought to talk on this episode about some of the characteristics of somebody before this trip and then some of the things after them. And we're going to do that by interspersing some videos in the middle of this. But let's start by talking about some of the things people talk to us about before we started the trip. So let's start by watching this video of Jason.
Hi there, I'm Jason Happy. I'm 51. I'm from the Charlotte, North Carolina area, Cornelius.
And talk to everybody about what it is you're standing next to the sign for and what your thoughts were when you signed up to do this.
Well, this is the northern terminus of the Blue Ridge Parkway. And I've been cycling on a regular basis now for the last 5 years, and this is definitely a monumental challenge, and I like challenges. It pushes me to train, it pushes me to exercise. If I sign up for something, then I'm going to exercise more so I succeed.
Cool. So tomorrow's our first day on the parkway. What are you feeling as you think about getting ready to go tomorrow?
I'm excited. I'm also a little nervous. There's a hellacious climb towards the end of the day that I'm a bit concerned about. But yeah, I've been pushing myself now for quite some time, and I'm sure we'll get through it. Looking for the views, looking for the feeling of success at the end of the day.
Jason talked about a monumental challenge. What do you think of that claim?
I would say it's fair, especially thinking back to the first time I did this. I would say that was definitely anxiety ruled the night before of thinking about, oh no, that's a lot of biking. And yeah, it's really daunting just because of, you'd think about, unless you're really living there, used to that, even in your training, it's not the parkway. In terms of, you've really got your ups almost all day, and then you've got a little bit of down, and almost always seems like it's more up than down.
I know, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, and it seems the start of day one is always my least favorite part. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to make sure I didn't ride it this year, just because that first morning, that first hour of just being so worried about all of your pacing, nutrition, everything for the whole day, and it really takes a long time for you to get used to saying, all right, I'm just going to focus on my next pedal rather than being so consumed with the whole scope of the trip. And mm-hmm. when you get that first day done, you realize, all right, that's a meaningful section handled. And knowing that you can keep doing those each day.
Truly a meaningful section. That is a good summary there, Ev. Let's take a listen to Laura's take on her before picture, her before story.
I'm Laura Happy. I'm 43, and I'm from Cornelius, North Carolina.
So you're in front of a sign that says Entering Blue Ridge Parkway. Tell us what comes to mind when you think about what you've just signed up to do.
Well, I'm questioning why I signed up to do it, but my husband invited me to do this fall, and I wasn't really a cyclist, and so after I agreed to do it, I went ahead and bought a bike and started training and have trained all spring for this, and we will be celebrating our 17th wedding anniversary while we're out here riding together. And I learned early on in our marriage, or probably one of the things that attracted me to marry him in the first place, was the adventures that he likes to take us on. And so I just try to say yes when he comes up with a crazy adventure. And this also comes a bit full circle. My grandfather, who is very special to me, rode his bike across the United States when he was 67. So if he can do that, I can do this.
I found a connection when she talked about questioning why she did it in the first place. When you and I did this, it was early on in COVID, I think. It was a board. It was the summer. We truly didn't have anything else to do. We thought it was a good idea. You and I have known we can do things like this together. We'd done plenty of epic challenges. And I remember parking at the start of the Blue Ridge Park. This is before we even knew there was a pullover on the side of the road next to the sign when we were parking on a hill before we even got to the parkway and walking down.
Old abandoned diner parking lot.
I remember pumping up the tires and putting water bottles on. Well, we didn't bring water bottles, so we were using the Sani bottles or whatever. And I remember thinking to myself, why are we doing this again? You know, and the next thing you know, we're pulling into Peaks of Otter, and we're decimated, right? We laid down and took a nap, not by choice. It was like non-negotiable. Granted, we did it in July, and that climb, you know, the climb at the end of day one that Jason just referenced. It's not a joke. It's an HC, which is the hardest kind of climb to do. I connected with her. What did you think of her when she said, "I just jumped right in"?
That was really impressive. I didn't realize kind of her story until partway through. And I was like, wait, you just started cycling this year? And to me, that was really, really impressive to kind of think about just really saying this is the first thing you're really going to start training for. And I totally agree that it's a great kind of trip to have there. Mm-hmm. And I really, really respect Laura for going all in for cycling, for really taking on not necessarily this trying to do it as an act of fitness, but as an act of adventure, and really taking on all that brings and understanding that what part of what that brings is the unknown.
Yeah, I could see her just jumping in and doing the Appalachian Trail, something like that. Or I tried to coax her into going and trying to become a part of our national team in her age group and stuff like that. Because that's rare when somebody says, I'm going to do something epic my first iteration out. So Laura impressed us both, it sounds like. How about Marilyn? Let's listen to Marilyn's here. We're going to start her at a few seconds into her monologue.
So my name is Marilyn. I am from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm 39. I'm a Pisces. Thank you.
That's fantastic. So you're standing in front of a sign. What does it say?
Enter Blue Ridge Parkway, the National Park Service. Vanna?
So what does that mean to you? You're about to enter the Blue Ridge Parkway is what you read. What does that mean to you?
That means I get to ride more than 450 miles on my bike. I'm excited.
Any other feelings beside excitement?
Anxious, eager. I know I'm going to do this. I'm just going to be 100% enjoying myself and no holds barred.
Cool. So what kind of expectations do you have for tomorrow, since tomorrow's our absolute first day?
It's going to be a glorious day. Glorious day!
So what did you think of the ending there with all that emotion?
Yeah, I could totally tell throughout the day that Marilyn is always, she always even describes herself as she always wants to try and bring all of the energy. But even there, you could still kind of feel some of the anxiousness behind it. And I remember for the whole first part of day one, she really put her head down and was biking just for the sake of, I really want to make sure I can get this done. So even in her worry, she still worked so hard to be kind of a positive light for everyone, but still really put her head down and get to work and get in the miles. I really appreciated that.
I feel like you nailed it, because she was a light for everybody else, whether she was pedaling as hard as she could. She abhorred my humor. The low-quality dad jokes were just not the bomb, even though I thought they were wonderful.
I remember at Sierra Nevada, we were waiting for a table in Asheville. And I remember she said something out loud, like talking about sore. She was like, oh my gosh, my butt hurts. And then she looked over at somebody else who started laughing, I guess. And she was like, oh, did you hear that? Well, that's good. I wanted to make you laugh anyway. So that's just the kind of person she is.
I know, right? You know, this morning, even though the trip was over yesterday and everybody's departed, you know, Paul's back in Ohio, Happy's are, you know, back in Cornelius, you know, she called Mom on the phone, and I hijacked it. I took the phone call, and she asked us, when are we coming over to get her laundry?
Yeah.
Or when should she drop off her laundry? Because that's like that Blue Ridge Parkway state of mind. Mm-hmm. Let's jump into the after commentary here, because we got a lot of after commentary. Let's listen to Marcel first.
It was such a nice experience, because I didn't have an idea how long I could last. And it was kind of like to prove myself how far I can reach and like pushing my limits, and I thought I couldn't be able to do it, but I did. It was such a nice experience. All like the forest and the experience of like being with people, talking and cycling and
bears,
everything, like downhills or everything. That was the best part.
So talk to us about Marcel, because you have a unique experience with him, different than I do.
The day Marcel rode was going from Blowing Rock to Little Switzerland, and he had almost never really ridden much in his life, and he just decided that he wanted to give it a go. And I remember I was driving Sag that day, and I saw him at the top of a categorized climb with both his hands at his side, just kind of chatting, and I was like, are you kidding me? Why do we train so much if this kid can just show up and ride?
Yeah, I told him in the car, I said, there's a distinct carryover from soccer to cycling. Like, your soccer fitness that you have carries to cycling. Unfortunately, cycling fitness does not carry over to soccer. You still can't shoot a goal. You still can't hit the target from 30 meters out.
I know. My only consolation was seeing at the end of the day that when I got my bike back from him, because he rode on my bike, was that it was in the absolute easiest gear. So mm-hmm. At least I knew he was working hard by the end of the day.
I know, right? So these after pics, let's listen to the Happy's after story. Happy's, what did it mean to ride the Blue Ridge Parkway together?
Well, Threshold Academy definitely pushed our threshold. I wasn't sure if we were going to be able to succeed in this. Figured, you know, 80-95% of it, but Lori and I nailed 100% of it. And I'm super proud of her and a little surprised at myself.
Yeah, I was really nervous. This is the biggest ride I've ever done. The week before, I was really nervous. And so, but yeah, we couldn't have had a better week. It was fantastic. Great support team. And it was great riding with him. And we accomplished something I never thought I could accomplish. And that was awesome. And yeah, so it was great.
And we got a little phrase. Life begins outside your comfort zone. And
so when they were filming that story and I was holding the camera throughout that, and they were being sincere and open and intimate with each other on camera, which, you know, that's rare in our culture unless you're like on reality TV or something. That just resonated in my soul. That's why we do this. We're paying forward to the next generation. We're trying to engage other people in epic events because, you know, in our society, we're really shortchanged. Everything we do, it seems, is to create comfort and automation and simplicity. And, you know, there's not a lot of people tempting you with hard work as part of what everybody else would call a vacation. And they did it. They nailed it.
It was really cool kind of seeing them the whole time, just the simultaneous encouragement and competition between them. And then still always at the end, just the shared sense of accomplishment, which was really cool to see.
Because mm-hmm. Mom hasn't done this with me, and I don't have an expectation that she will, but her role is just as critical as mine,
absolutely,
providing all the hospitality. How about John's commentary here? Let's listen to John. John, what did riding the Blue Ridge Parkway mean to you now that you've done it?
Well, the first thing is when I saw the ad for it and so forth, I thought, well, that would be a challenge, because I've done centuries before, even back-to-back centuries, but never 8 days of centuries or very long rides. So it was the challenge, and then I thought it would be a very beautiful ride, which, I mean, it's stunning. It's the most beautiful ride I've ever done. And it's just fun. And then the support's great, the camaraderie of the people. You get to know the other riders and everything. It's just an amazing experience.
So John said, this is the most beautiful ride I have ever done.
Well, yeah, he came from Florida.
There's some truth to that. But he's ridden a lot up here. He's got a home in the hills up here. You know, it's tempting for us to take the credit, thinking that it's on us, but it's really not. It's the whole reason they created this parkway in the first place is somebody else before us, I guess starting with Daniel Boone, said, this is pretty cool. We ought to make it so people can see it all. What would be your message for people out there who are pondering this ride?
I would say, yeah, we've got a pretty good repertoire of that kind of person. If you're looking at Lenny last year, who did it with us, Marilyn this year, really, you don't have to be a elite cyclist and be daunted by the whole sake of the challenge. You can go and take it really slow and really take on the parkway, or really take on the sections of the parkway that you're feeling good to do, and still have a really great time and make the memories. It doesn't have to be I have to show up in perfect shape, and if I'm not, I'll hate it. It's that kind of thing. It's like a type 2 fun even, where you might not be having fun while you're doing it, but you can really look back on it and say, wow, those are great memories. But at the same time, there's totally aspects of it that you really can have fun while you're doing it. We're talking about stuff at the end of the day, getting those really good overlooks, and everybody loves my mom's sandwiches.
That's right.
There's plenty to look forward to during it, as well as that reflectability afterwards of really looking back at what you accomplished.
It's postpartum.
Yeah.
That comes to my mind. You know, I can say things and I can put pictures on the screen that don't do it, but let's pause for a moment and talk about the friendships on this trip. So how about this one here?
Yeah, it was Marilyn could just make friends with anybody, whether they're in our group or not. that was a really cool spot. We were staying in Blowing Rock. We had a little building all to ourselves where we could really all sit down and have like our own kind of room, rather than in the past we'd be in some hotel conference room or in a restaurant where we're kind of in a hurry to get out of there. And especially, yeah, like on our day off, we really had the time to just sit and be a group rather than be a train of cyclists going down the parkway. And it was easy to be a group because of who we had.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to chat about this one. So we've got Nelson, our foreign exchange student here from France, but he speaks German, and his mom goes grocery shopping in Switzerland. But other than that, that's where he's from. But talk about how you guys connect.
Yeah, Nelson and I, we've got a kind of funny relationship just because we share two really sports in common, both really into cycling, but also really into Formula One. So we're just kind of riding along and talking random sports things all day, and he's just kind of a little riding encyclopedia, almanac, whatever you want to call it, of knowledge. But I really enjoy how well he picked up the humor side of English to just really be dumb. When I like people I can be dumb with, if I want to say that, as well as work really hard with and have fun with.
I like people whom I can be done with. That ought to be like some signature at the bottom of an email or something. So talk to us a little bit about this old fella.
Yeah. So this was a guy on our very last day named Craig, who we saw at the end of the first HC climb. And he rolls in with a big old bag on each side of his back and his front tire. And if you can see in there, his big gallon of water. This guy was truly on a journey. He told us he started in, I think, San Diego or Los Angeles. He rode all the way across the country, and then when he got over here, decided he's going to check out and just ride the Blue Ridge Parkway entirely while he's here. Whereas we're doing our whole trip designated around it. This is just kind of one of his stops along the way that he's just going to casually go and ride the whole parkway. And he said this wasn't even his first trip, really going all the way across the country. And it was really, really cool to kind of see this guy out here who is so in his element cycling, where just months and months on end, he can just keep going.
So
you'd see that kind of people out there with all kinds of stories on the parkway.
So the guys to the immediate left and to immediate right of him are national grade athletes in the sport of duathlon, Mike for triathlon as well. And then we got Paul, of course, on the far right of the whole picture. And everybody was mesmerized. I mean, I was mesmerized taking pictures. You were mesmerized in the sag wagon. And I have no sense that all he was doing was telling the truth. That's all he was doing was telling the truth, mm-hmm. which makes that's so cool. Point is you never know who you're going to meet when you start discovering people other than yourself. And he was just a part of the gig right there. So I thought I'd bring this in as the final little what was different on this parkway trip. Day two, we're in the middle of nowhere, what you would call the farmland of Virginia. And there were just these random sheep goats.
Yeah.
On the Blue Ridge Parkway. And I remember looking at the mile marker when that happened because we were about at 100. So we're gone from Peaks of Otter and we're up the road a bit. And the parkway's kind of wide at that moment. It's not like a quarter mile like it is in some places. And I have no idea how they got there. I suspect they don't know how they got there either. But I was looking for like a branding mark, a collar. When I was cycling by, there was nothing. They were just sheep on the side of the road. you know, we had a bear at the end of day one just hanging out by Peaks of Otter.
Up in a tree.
But I thought that was just an anomaly to see those kinds of critters on the side of the road. Again, you see things that you wouldn't normally see when you're not looking for them.
Tons of turkeys this time as well. Way more turkeys than we're used to seeing. I remember for every day in North Carolina, I know we saw at least two every single day. Nelson said that going into Asheville, he saw a bear on the parkway. So, and even an elk right after we finished the ride in Cherokee in the middle of the town eating somebody's shrubs or something. There was an elk. This had more wildlife than even I was used to seeing on the parkway, doing it three times.
I think this picture is kind of a good way to tie up this specific podcast. But, you know, all of the people in this picture did both the Spain tour that we did in March as well as this Blue Ridge Parkway tour in May. So 2 months apart, they cycled, you know, thousands of miles around the world. And there's a connection that's made there. You know, most of the people that do one of our trips, you know, do others. It becomes contagious. I think the most of the reason is mom's killer service and people just seem to like you. I just push people. But you do the good stuff throughout that process here. Talk to me about that line of people. You're in it.
Yeah, we've, with Mike and Connor, I've known them for a couple of years just because my dad's been coaching them, and Nelson just for the past year. But as people have moved away, me included, being in Arizona, it's really nice to be able to come back to do this trip to this one thing, that main thing that we share in common, cycling, and sharing all of our friendships with each other. And I really look forward to these trips, getting to see these guys, just to see how they've grown individually, grown as families, grown as athletes, and really sharing these experiences with them. Like as you said, like kind of like the repeat people, like going to Spain and getting to see people from the previous Parkway trip, Paul, Sarah, and Lenny. It just makes the trips that much more enjoyable with going into it. You've got both people that you're going to make as new friends, as well as getting to see your old friends from previous trips.
It's a community. That's kind of what we're trying to build here. Well, it is what we've built here. So next battery of trips next year, we're doubling up two Blue Ridge Parkways and two Spain trips to try to target more people, since Spain sold out and the Parkway, we're capped at 8 and we're almost there all the time. So give it a shot. Well done.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this chapter of Threshold Stories, Crossing Thresholds, one story at a time. Ready to cross more thresholds with me in 2 weeks. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or on my Facebook page at Jeff Gora, Team USA.